Now I want you to turn with me this morning to the 8th Psalm for our scripture reading. The message today begins the series for the month of December on the truth. My text for the entire series is John chapter 8 and verse 32, where Jesus says, "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." You know, that's quite an interesting statement, isn't it? Did you really get the impact of that? Jesus said it, "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." And you know whom the Son makes free is free indeed. The message today, beginning the series on the truth. Psalm 8. I shall begin reading at verse 1 after we pause for a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we truly thank Thee for Thy blessed and timeless Word. It is unto us a lamp, a light. It is like a hammer. It is like a sword. It is like a fire. It is like a looking glass. It shows us what we are, and we pray that it would show us what we ought to be in the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, may Thy Word speak to us this morning. May the Holy Spirit whisper in our hearts those things that we need to know, erasing and eradicating and removing from our minds all those things that would distract us, anything that might detour our thinking, that we might set our affections and our devotion and our attention upon Thee. And dear Lord, may men not hear us today, but may they hear the voice of Thy Spirit. Arrest every heart and bring into subjection every thought is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. The psalmist writes in the 8th division, verse 1, "O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is Thy name in all the earth, who hath set Thy glory above the heavens. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings Thou hast ordained strength because of Thine enemies, that Thou mightest still the enemy and the avenger. When I consider Thy heavens, the work of Thy fingers, the moon and the stars which Thou hast ordained, what is man that Thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that Thou visitest him? For Thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, and hast crowned him with glory and honor. Thou madest him to have dominion over the works of Thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, yea, and the beast of the field, the fowl of the air, and the fish of the sea, and whatsoever passeth through the paths of the seas. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is Thy name in all the earth." The 8th Psalm is a messianic psalm, that is, it has within it prophecies concerning the Messiah. And yet, there is for us in Psalm 8 a searching question found in verse 4. What is man? The most complex being in all the world is man. Man with all of his different likes and dislikes, his personality traits, his ideas, his approaches in philosophy, in psychiatry, in medicine, in science, in the arts, in all the phases of man's existence, how complex man really is. You know, God's Word gives us the fortunes and misfortunes of man from beginning to end. I trust that we shall discover these fortunes and misfortunes, as the case might be, at least in part, as we treat the subject, the truth about man. That's a good starting point for our series of messages on the truth. The truth about man, the truth about you, the truth about me, the truth about all men. What is the truth about man? Well, I think first we would have to look at man's description to answer that question. And then second, I think we should consider man's duty. And third and finally, we should consider man's destiny. Man's description. Again, verse 4 contains a power-packed question. What is man? Now, to that question, there is no simple answer. A complex question demands a complex answer. In our attempt to answer that question, I think we must begin by saying that man is the creation of God, or that man is a created being. Well, I know that there are schools of thought in the world today that tell us that man evolved from some lower species of animal and has through the ages become what he is from one stage to another, developing higher and higher and higher until man will become himself a god. Well, the Bible frowns on that because God's Word says that God created man in his own image. From the dust of the earth, God created man and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Man is a created being. As a created being, and as having been created in the image and likeness of God, man is a tripart being. That he is a being of three particular or separate parts. They are body, soul, and spirit. With man's body, he is conscious of the things about him. For man's body makes him conscious of heat and cold, of pain, of discomfort, of the feelings of sickness and the feelings of hurt that come to the physical being. Man's soul makes him self-conscious, and man's spirit makes him God-conscious. What is man? Man is a created being made by the hand of God from the dust of the earth in the likeness and image of the Creator. Furthermore, man is a dependent being. Oh, I know I've run into some people in my life who thought they could live on their own. But you know, the Word declares man cannot live by himself and man does not die by himself. And I believe this about man, that man has not only an appointed beginning, but I believe that man has an appointed end. And that God is directing the affairs of man all the way through. What is man without God? Man is minus, a zero without God. For man depends upon God as the creature must depend upon the Creator. How long could man exist without God? What if God would not put the sun in the sky, nor give us the oxygen to breathe, nor food from the earth to eat? How long could we exist? As the creature, man is dependent upon the Creator. And you know these people that go about week after week, month after month, year after year, thinking that they are self-sufficient and that they don't need God, they're going to find out one of these days that they cannot make it without Him. When they come to the end of the way, when they come to face the grim enemy of death, when eternity stares them in the face, they're going to be reminded, and I believe this with all of my heart, that every man who goes in this life and through this life without Christ, when he stands before God, the judge of this universe, he's going to be reminded of all the opportunities that he had to serve Christ and to honor God and to trust the Lord Jesus Christ as his Savior. Man is dependent upon God physically. Man is dependent upon God mentally. Man is dependent upon God spiritually. Without me, Jesus said, ye can do nothing. Further, I would have you note that man is not only a created being and a dependent being, but man is an immortal being. God's word spells it out clearly and plainly. Hebrews 9:27 says, it is appointed unto man once to die, and that's all. No, it doesn't read that way. God says it is appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. Some people are living as though death were the end. But beloved, death is an entrance. It is either an entrance into the kingdom and into the glories of heaven, or it is an entrance into the regions of the damned. Man does not cease to live at death, or his heart stops beating. His eyes close. His blood stops circulating. But remember, that's just the body. That's just the temple. That's just the tabernacle, the house. The real person either goes into the presence of God with Jesus Christ as personal Savior, or at death they go into the regions of the damned, awaiting that eternal sentence in the lake of fire. For death does not end at all. Man is an immortal being. Not only that, but man is a sinful being. You know what Jeremiah says about man's heart? It is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I want to read to you from the Word of God a description of man. There's no other description, I don't believe, as fine as this. And I want to read a few verses to you. Will you listen carefully? Paul writes, what then? Are we better than they? No, in no wise, for we have before proved both Jews and Gentiles, that they are all under sin. As it is written, there is none righteous. No, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. Their throat is an open sepulchre. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asp is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace have they not known? And listen to this. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them that are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. I've read you a picture of yourself and myself outside the Lord Jesus Christ. Man is a sinful being. That's an ugly picture, isn't it? And look what sin has done for man. Sin has robbed man of his innocency. Sin has ruptured man's fellowship and relationship to God. Sin has reduced man from the original state of innocence in which he was created to a totally depraved condition, lost and helplessly undone outside the redeeming work of Jesus Christ. Man is a sinful being. That's man's description. Now, what should we say about man's duty? Someone has said, and I think has put it well, the most sublime word in the English language is duty. And man has a duty to fill today. You know, there's a modern philosophy that goes about talking about every man doing his own thing. They've made a song about it. That's nothing new. That is a revival of an ancient philosophy of Israel. Before the days of the judges, this book says that every man did that which was right in his own eyes. Now, I know that the idea of doing your own thing takes a little bit of a different slant, but it all comes from the same root. It doesn't matter whether an apple tree grows in this direction or that direction. It produces apples. And whether the philosophy of modern man is bent a little in this direction or in that direction, it's all from the same root. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes. And I'll tell you today, if we had such a rule and regulation in this world today, it wouldn't be safe for you to be seated right where you are now. Because you turn unregenerate man loose to do as he pleases without any restraint or restriction. You talk about a mixed up, mad, crazy world. It would be worse than it is. I'm glad that we've got laws and regulations. The highest law in all the world today is the law of God. This idea of every man doing as he pleases is not from God, because the unregenerate man pleases to please himself. And as long as we are pleasing ourselves, we are not pleasing him. I said man has a duty. I believe his duty is basically threefold. Man has a duty to himself. Man has a duty to his fellow man. Man has a duty to God. Man has a duty to himself. The ancient wise philosopher said, to thine own self be true. You know, if a man is not true to himself and does not fulfill the duty and obligation and responsibility that he has to himself by virtue of the fact that he's a human being, he will not fulfill his duty to his fellow man nor to God. I say this, the man who is not serving God today is not fulfilling his duty to himself. And he certainly isn't fulfilling his duty to his fellow man. We must fulfill our duty to ourselves. We must fulfill our duty to our fellow man. Jesus said, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. The Good Samaritan is a good example here. Levite and the priest passed by on the other side, the man who had been robbed and left for half dead. But the Good Samaritan went where he was. If you want to be a Good Samaritan, get busy helping somebody. If you want to forget some of your own worries and problems and quit feeling sorry for yourself, spend some time helping someone else. That's one of the best therapies that you can possibly have. You know, the other day I was feeling bad and somewhat tired and weary. And you know, preachers are just as human as people. You know that. And the old body was kind of aching, but I went over to make a visit. A man by the name of Hardin, Brother Jack LoPage's stepdad. And I tell you, when I left there talking to a dying man, a man who is sinking away, fading away fastly, when I left there, I just felt like I'd just been lifted up so high. Why? Because I just took out a little testament and read a few verses of scripture and had a prayer to a man that's dying. And when I got ready to leave, he said, "Preacher, you don't know how much it's meant to me." And I said, "Mister, you don't know how much it meant to me. I feel so much better. You know, I forgot all about my aches and pains and how tired I was. And I could go on to the next place rejoicing because I found it in my own heart to help somebody else. I'm saying to you this morning that you have a duty to your fellow man." I don't know what kind of Christianity you've got if you don't have sympathy and compassion and a willingness to help somebody in need. A duty to yourself, a duty to your fellow man, and a duty to God. Moses speaks about the duty that we have to God. I want you to listen to these verses. "And now, Israel, what doth the Lord thy God require of thee? But to fear the Lord thy God, to walk in all his ways, and to love him, and to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul, to keep the commandments of the Lord and his statutes which I command thee this day for thy good." What does the Lord require? Moses said five things, five strong verbs of action. Look at them. First, fear. Second, walk. Third, love. Fourth, serve. And fifth, keep. I think it's interesting that love is in the middle, the two on either side of it. I don't think that's an accident. For surely love is at the center of our relationship to God and our fellow man. Look at it again. What does the Lord require? What is man's duty? First, to fear the Lord thy God. What does that word fear mean, preacher? It simply means to have a reverential trust. With reverence and awe, to trust God. Not to cower down before God as though he were a tyrant about to knock your head off. That's not what it means. To fear God means to hold him in reverence. And you know, when man has the proper perspective of God, he has the proper perspective of himself. And when he has the proper perspective of God, not only does he have the proper perspective of himself, but he has the proper perspective of his fellow man. Fear God. And on the other side of that, if a man doesn't have the proper perspective of God, he can never have the proper perspective of himself, nor of his fellow man. To walk in all his ways. Sometimes the way of the Lord leads us over a path of suffering, of sacrifice. Sometimes the pathway of the Lord leads us even to death. But you know, Jesus followed the pathway of God to the cross. Then I think about Peter and James and John and Paul. The way of the Lord for Peter led him to prison and finally to be crucified. The way of the Lord led James to the sword. The way of the Lord led John to the Isle of Patmos to be excluded from his fellow Christians. The way of the Lord led Paul to the Roman chop block. But thanks be unto God 10,000 times. 10,000 times thank you, God, that the way of all of these men led them to glory. There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Let us walk in the way of the Lord, and in the middle to love him. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul and with all thy strength. That's the sum and summary of our relationship to him, to love him and to serve him. You know, if we love God, we'll serve him. We'll serve him not only on Sunday, but we'll serve him on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday and Saturday and again on Sunday and all the days of our lives if we love him. You know, love tells the story. It tells the story of God's relationship to man and man's relationship to God. And if we fear him and walk in his way and love him and serve him, it only follows naturally that we'll keep his commandments. What did Jesus say? If you love me, keep my commandments. This is man's relationship to God. I think the wise Solomon sums it all up well in Ecclesiastes chapter 12. Verse 13, Solomon says, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. Man's description, man's duty, and finally, man's destiny. Where are you headed this morning? What is the destiny of man? Man's destiny is not determined by chance, but by choice. In Noah's day, God gave men a choice. Noah built an ark. 120 years. Noah was a preacher of righteousness. Noah warned of the impending danger of the flood. But during those years, no one believed him but his family. But at God's appointed hour, the rains came, and the fountains of the deep were broken up, and the waters rose. And God said to Noah, come thou and all thy family into the ark. And what happened to those outside the ark? They perished in the flood. They had a choice. Every man is facing eternity with a choice. In the days of Israel's history, it was the same. To the nation Israel, God said in Deuteronomy chapter 19, I set before thee, rather, verse 19 of chapter 30, I set before thee this day good and evil, blessing and cursing, life and death. Choose ye therefore life, that it may be well with thee. You see, man has got a choice to make. To every man and to every nation comes that choice. Is it God or Satan? Is it life or death? Light or darkness? Liberty or slavery? Man still has that choice today. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, enter ye in at the straight gate. For wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way that leadeth unto life. Which is it? Life or death? Heaven or hell? All eternity with God or all eternity without him? You see, the only way to get to the right destination is to get on the right road. If you drive to the North-South Freeway and get on Highway 81 South, don't expect to go to Denton because you're going in the opposite direction. If down the pathway of life you make the turn of selfishness and sin and the rejection of Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, don't expect to go to heaven. You're headed in the wrong direction. But it's up to you. There's a great divide out there, and you can go left to right. You can go life or death. You can go with God or without Him. For every man has a destiny. It is appointed unto man once to die. And after this, the judgment. The truth about man. A created being, an immortal being, a dependent being, a sinful being. Man's duty to himself, to his fellow man, to God. Man's destiny, heaven or hell. Let us stand for our prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank Thee today for the truth of Thy blessed and eternal and timeless Word. We thank Thee that Thou hast not left us to grope in the darkness. Thou hast not left us without light and illumination and understanding, but Thou hast given us a sense of direction. We know our description from Thy Word is an ugly picture outside Christ. We know that we are sinful beings. We know, Heavenly Father, that our modern philosophy of doing our own thing will not take us to heaven. We must accept what Christ, our Savior, has already done. We know that we have a duty to ourselves, a duty to our fellow men, and we have a duty to Thee. And we know, Heavenly Father, that we have a destiny in heaven with Thee or in hell without Thee. Should there be those who have not made that choice for Christ today, may they come and trust Him. Should there be those, Heavenly Father, who need to make a choice for church membership, for the dedication of their lives, their time, their talent, their means, their money, their very life to Thee, may they come this morning and make that choice and that decision. For those, Heavenly Father, who need guidance and help and counsel, may they find it in the pages of Thy Word by the Holy Spirit. Whatever the needs might be today, as we've seen the truth about man, an ugly picture, help us to turn ourselves completely over Thee, over to Thee, to be remade. And Heavenly Father, don't let one needy soul go away today. May everyone find what they have come for and what they need in this hour, as we pray and ask it in Jesus' name and for His sake and with thanksgiving.